Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of CreerPG that we have never done before. I am Kenzie Tartaglioni, and I am the creative director of CreerPG.
I am Ash Westover, and I am a producer and occasional performer on CreerPG.
And we're going to do like a year in review chit chat, which we've never done before. Just talk about the past year of making the podcast and honestly, probably years prior as well. So I guess, well, you know, first off, Ash, how you doing?
I'm doing just dandy. I just ate a lot of free food at a company dinner.
Oh, that's very nice.
I had to go into the office, which normally work remote. And so that was a bummer. But then they were like, we're going to give you guys free food. And I was like, hell yeah. And so to get to this on time, we went to the venue. I ate three plates and then immediately left.
So, well, okay. You wanted to do that anyways, though.
Yeah. Oh, no. I love having an excuse to leave a work event. 100%. Don't tell my boss, but like, yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Thank you, CreerPG. You've helped me in so many ways.
I just want to, I know this is just audio and no one's seen the video of this, but I want to point out that I do have tea in my little Gideon the Ninth mug that says, "We do bones, motherfuckers." So I am on brand.
And I'm on brand with a cicada bolo tie.
Yep. You know what? That might be a little bit more on brand than I am.
Oh, bless it.
Oh, wow. Well, what have we done? What have we done on CreerPG?
A lot.
A lot. Very true. It's been 3 years. Well, okay. 4 years since conception-ish. 3 years since we premiered birth. Season one.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. 3 years since birth. Yeah, because October 31st, 2022 was the premiere episode of Wildmoor High, which feels like about seven lifetimes ago.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we've been doing this for about 10 years. No, it's been three. Huh. Wow. in like the best ways, because I feel like sort of have sped run a few, I don't know if relationship's the right word, but like we've met so many people just through this. Like, I feel like our lives would be completely different were it not for CreerPG.
Oh, 100%. I feel like half of our friends we wouldn't know if we didn't start this podcast.
Give me 1 second. My dog is trying to dig in her bed. Cauliflower, honey, that's not dirt. No. Just leave it.
I mean, it could be.
It could be. She has destroyed two of her beds already. Let's not make it a third.
There she is. Look at the baby.
She's come to say hello. She wants to be included. Maybe we'll post pictures of our pets for a Patreon thing.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's seen Cleo because she's freaking out in the back of all of the Shades of the West shit.
She's our mascot.
Yeah. And we did dress her up in the red wyvern costume for Wildmoor Wyverns when that season came out. I think I've been thinking about all of these seasons because we recently went to PAX and I had to make that like almost kind of like this review of all the shows we've made to like tell people what was up in that video I made. But I was also thinking about like how, I mean, okay, so we premiered that in 2022, but we started filming that like earlier that year. So it was like 2021 was us being like, hey, what if we did a podcast?
What if we just got our friends together and told stories? What if we did that?
And that was like really literally what we did for season one. It was just like people we knew from college or people of people we knew from college, friends of a friend sort of vibe. But I actually was thinking about how different that season was to the rest of them in the sense of like, I picked Monster Hearts because I was obsessed with that game. Had never played it before though, but was obsessed with the concept of that game. And then decided what I wanted, which was like the three houses, all of that. And then we cast.
Yeah. I remember during like our conversations, to give y'all a peek behind the curtain, Kenzie and I used to meet at this bar near the Barclay Center called Fancy Free.
Fancy Free.
Fancy Free.
Shout out.
It was just like the halfway point. Shout out Fancy Free. That's where we like QueerPG really genuinely started. And we stopped going Brooklyn. There because the times that we were available was also like a karaoke night all of a sudden or trivia.
It really did just start randomly.
Yeah, we're like, we have to actually find somewhere else now. Aw, dang. But like,
both of us have too much neurodivergence to be able to have a business yeah. meeting when there's an event happening.
Yeah, we had like our laptops and notebooks out and somebody in the background was just like, all right, and then what's the capital of the... And I was like, Kenzie, we have to go. Kenzie, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah, trivia night kind of ruined it. Yeah.
But sorry, you were saying you were drawn to
Monster. No, I just was thinking about like, I like figured out what that was going to be before we cast it in, before we recorded that season, which is the first and last time we've done that. Also, just a quick note, I remember that like, we obviously had no idea what we were doing because we played a weird Frankenstein Monster Hearts that was like kind of Monster Hearts and kind of Monster Hearts 2 put together. And I didn't even know I was doing that. Did really? Not even have any clue that's what was happening. I just found the rules online, downloaded them, and whatever they were, that's what I used.
This looks legit. This seems like what it is, right?
Yeah. And then I found out like halfway through the season, people started commenting and being like, why are you guys using these old rules? And I was like, I didn't know they were old.
I didn't know they were old. I haven't played it before. Sorry.
Yeah, but then, because I hadn't played it before, we had like that massive group of like 12 people in my living room playtesting that one night, which was way too many people. But, you know, sometimes you just do the things you do.
Live and learn.
Yeah, but that was the first and last time that like we created a story for a season before we cast the season, which for a show makes sense. I think for like when you play at home, that's kind of weird. But for a show, that makes sense.
I think there are definitely like pros and cons to that, because I remember the lore and the world feeling so flushed out from like session one. It also helped that like all of us knew each other as actors and were comfortable with each other. But I think when it comes to actual play specifically, there is like a bit of magic in letting the players help build the world and like setting those things up as well. And I think that's pretty much what we've been leaning towards more so in following seasons. It also depends on the game too. Like some games, like it's better if you have something fleshed out ahead of time, and some there are literal mechanics for world building in them, like with what we did for Roseville Beach, spoiler alert.
We'll talk about it too. I also think that like the one thing in Monster Hearts they have you build as a group is the classroom. So I felt like that, granted, I was a newer GM at that point, and so I was like, oh, well, that's in the rules. That's the one thing we do. I'll do the rest of it, which was fine. Again, fine. But I feel like now I'm like, somebody else can tell me.
Somebody, I'm tired. This town. I gotta run the rest of it. Y'all tell me where like the coffee shop is in this fucking town.
But that was super fun for you because we didn't tell anybody that you were going to pop in. So I played Pharaoh Smith for like 13 episodes or whatever. I mean, I think that might be an exaggeration, but
I think it was around like between like the 10 to 13 episode mark that I actually jumped in.
I want to guess. Okay, I'm going to guess right now. And I know I said 13, but I'm actually going to guess that it's 8. I'm locking in my answer at 8.
I'm locking in my answer at 10. For no, it's just arbitrarily.
10 was Crush an Egg.
So but 8 after.
Was also not it. So it was... Oh yeah, I was right, kind of right the first time. At the very end of episode 14, at the end of that Halloween party, Pharaoh shows up. So it was 14, 15. It just felt like you were there longer than five episodes.
Well, because I was physically like on all Valid. The calls, yeah. Just like silently in the background watching. And that was honestly one of my favorite moments is when I jumped in as Pharaoh and the rest of the cast was like, why is Asha talking? Wait, what the fuck? Wait. What? And I was like, end of episode. And they were like, wait,
we put over on you.
We got your asses.
And then I think what was super cool is we did like the little entirely Pharaoh episode, the next episode, which was me and you just doing all of like the scenes that we missed with you throughout the
sort of like flashbacks, but like from a different character's POV, and you could see just how much of a little freak and like literal stalker I was being the whole season. And I remember when I went back and listened to Monster Hearts for, I think it was for the wrap up or something, I was like, oh, Pharaoh was just in the background of everything.
Yeah, Pharaoh and Beauregard. I still think that, I mean, there were so many good moments. I mean, I still remember, like, so many of the good one-liners that ended up in the trailer, like Brennan's, I forgot my backpack at, like, in, like, episode one, and I was like, oh, we're starting off on a good foot here.
It's going so good. I got a text from Mads McDonough, our Caleb, earlier today, and he had drawn another Caleb. Look at this.
Oh my goodness. Why isn't he sending me this shit? I'm gonna yell at him.
Well, because I'd shown him the other D&D character things that I had drawn. Okay. Or something. And gotcha. So we got to talking about it, and then he was like, I got bit by the doodle bug. Here's a Caleb. And I went, thank you very much. I will treasure this forever. But we can ask him if we're able to share that with y'all, or if this is just secret art for me and Kenzie.
I like secret art.
For the first season, I know we want to talk, I specifically want to hear you talk about the differences in editing between each season and how you've evolved through that, because you're an amazing editor, award-winning,
well, thank
freaking
you.
Just incredible. Every time someone talks about Queer PG, one of the first things they compliment on is how amazing it, like, the whole soundscaping and everything is. So when it came to Monster Hearts, and then following, what were some of the things you already knew from, like, your AMV days versus what are some things you had to learn specifically for AP?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that, again, we jumped into making this podcast without knowing actually how big the actual play anything. Space was.
Yeah,
we, like, had no clue. We had no perception of it, which was, like, our bad. But
that was
I was like, oh, yeah, definitely. But we had talked about it, how we wanted to edit it more like an audio drama. So, like, I didn't want all the roles in it. I wanted it to be more, like, narrative focused when it came to the editing. And I was like, oh, like, no one's doing that. Everybody was fucking doing that, which is fine. But what's so fun is, like, then we got into it. And so I had never done just audio before. I had always done video. And it had always been just, like, music over video and, like, over dialogue. It had never been, like, the whole soundscaping thing.
Yeah, so, like, there Supergirl wasn't... edits and shit.
Yes. Okay, call me out. Yes, Supergirl edits, of course. Sure, yes. Am I making a K-pop Demon Hunters one right now? Am I making an Arcane one right now? Maybe. We'll never know. We'll never
send
know.
Send that shit to me.
I feel like, what's her name? Is it Grace McKenna? Wait, what's that girl who just got called out in an interview recently about making fan edits of Josh Hutcherson? And she was like, why would you tell him that? Why would you tell him I did that? And that's how I feel right now. I'm sweating. No, that's, like, a known
I'm
fact
not
about
sorry
me.
Either.
Yeah, no, it's a known fact about me. And I don't remember, I don't really think in the first season there was, like, a lot of sound effects going on. It was mostly scoring. It was mostly music. I know, like, sometimes I put, like, phone rings and stuff in there. But there wasn't the, like, footsteps, door openings, light switch turning on. Like, this whole soundscape that I've been doing now. And honestly, that didn't really come around until season 3. Because even in season 2, I didn't really do that. That was mostly scoring. And then honestly, season 3 is the way it is because of The Heart is a Dungeon. Rara fully inspired me to, like, go ham. And so then I started adding sound effects, and I love it. And I think actually season 3 was the best one to do it on because of the vibe of that show. Like, it made perfect sense to do it for that one. And then I just found that I kind of love it. And honestly, it's not easy to explain, like, how I learned it, because I just did. Like, I just did it.
You're just naturally talented is what you're saying.
No, it's because I just feel like anybody can learn to do this. If you have, like, the resources, if you have a video editing software, if you have, like, access to sound effects, which there are a ton of free sound effect, like, websites available, you can just have a piece of audio, go get sound effects, and then you just play with it. You, like, put different versions of a door opening in a space. You make it louder. You make it softer. You made it fade in, fade out. Like, you just try and see what works, and that's just kind of, like, what I did.
What editor do you use?
Oh, people are gonna be so mad at when I say this. I know I should not be editing audio in here, but I just need to make it clear that we do cut bloopers and we do cut our after show. So I just need everybody to understand that I do have to cut some video edits before I say this out loud, but I edit all of our audio in Final Cut, which is insane.
I know nothing about editing.
Multiple sources.
Oh, okay. Multiple people have yelled at you about this.
Yes. But it just feels stupid to cut bloopers and cut the after show out of an episode and then put just the audio in editing software and redo the work I just did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, I guess I could cut the video, export that audio, and then export the already edited audio that I've done, and then put that in Pro Tools or whatever. But I don't know. I'm really fast in Final Cut because I know it. And I don't want to spend 8 hours on an episode anymore because I'm learning a new software. I want to do what I know and get the episode done. Granted, I should learn Pro Tools if I want to be an actual audio engineer at some point, but
it's like those people who can create the Mona Lisa in MS Paint. Is that a good analogy? Okay, cool.
I think so. I didn't think it was that crazy, but I said that to somebody and they stared at me with dead eyes, what the heck?
It's one of those things you're oh yeah, this is totally normal, and then everyone around you goes, No,
it is not. Yeah, so definitely our sound design has grown. You're right.
It's phenomenal. I also like how, so we're about to release season 4. Our first season it was sort of darker, spookier. Our second season was very light and funny.
Our full 180.
Season, yeah. Our third season is noir spooky. And then our fourth season is also a little bit kooky. So it feels like we're going back and forth between more drama leaning and more comedy leaning, lighter themes, or at least just aesthetics. Yeah. Maybe not necessarily.
I think themes. It's aesthetics, because I don't think Moonlight on Rose, there's a bunch of comedic moments in Moonlight on Roseville Beach, but the grander themes are pretty deep.
Oh yeah. They're,
and that's kind of how it was in Monster Hearts. Wildmoor High, there was a lot of funny moments, but then I know this is tough, but one of my favorite moments is the decision April Consolo made at the end. Spoiler alert if you haven't watched it. I wasn't actually going to say the whole thing, but she makes this really, really hard choice when it comes to turning into her darkest self and what happens with her then boyfriend, Adam. And that was one of that's one of the darkest moments in the entire season, but it was so good. And she just really committed, and props to her for doing that.
That's the thing, too. I can't think of a single actor we've worked with that wasn't fully committed to their characters and the story and the world and taking things 100% seriously, even if things were goofy. You know what I mean? I think it's one of those things where, from a performer's perspective, the reason why Muppet Christmas Carol is so good is because, who plays Scrooge? What's his name? Beans. You know what I mean? But the guy who plays Scrooge him up at Christmas Carol, he takes that role as serious as the grave. Michael Caine. I almost went Michael Keaton and I knew that wasn't it. But our characters take everything, even if comedically they will go 100%, drama they'll go 100%. They take everything and they live in the worlds, which is so cool to see, especially for casts that either have only worked together a couple times or have never been on a production together before. The way they're able to sort of step into the world and the role has been just amazing to watch. I love everyone we've worked with.
Yeah. We also have done kind of a flippy floppy on producing too. Cause the first season we produced together, we really did that one together and I just ran it and then you performed in it. And then season 2, we did, for the first time, and granted it was season 2, so it was the only time we could have done it, but we were what if we outsourced GMing? And so you produced that one. I didn't really have any hands-on while that was happening. I just edited that one, which actually I'd never want to do again. It was super hard to edit a show that I didn't know what was going on in.
I think we need to at least be on the calls for them, even if
that was just that. We were doing a trial thing. You guys were recording when I was at work in the middle of the day, so I couldn't do it. But I mean, that was cool to get a different GM on to see a different GMing style. And then that was the one where we had two people. Well, I guess April had never played TTRPGs before Wildmoor. But then going into season two for with Wanderhome, there were two people, Christina and Tot, that had never done AP before. So they had never done AP before? We were Tatiana's first actual play. Yes. And now they've written fucking Soul Operator Pod, which is like the greatest thing in the world. So and so we had a couple like new people to the actual play space on that show. But yeah, I never want to edit a show that I don't know. It was so difficult. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen next. Do I need to force? Like, that one was rough. I'll never do that again.
Yeah, 100%. No, and then cast sizes. I think that we've been like, there is that sweet spot between like a GM and 3 to 4 players that I don't think we would ever want to go more than, unless there's like a specific game that calls for it, like Roseville Beach.
We did a little bit of that on Moonlight, but it was doable.
Yeah, and it wasn't like everyone all at once.
We had 4 at the end of Monster Hearts. We had 4 throughout the entirety of Wanderhome. We had 3 for Lamplight, and then we had 3 for Roseville Beach. But I mean, Lamplight, you flip-flop. You didn't really have anything to do with Lamplight.
No, Lamplight was my wander home in that regard.
You were not around.
Because it was one of them, I was at work at that point. So
it was just fun. It's just funny. Like, I was thinking about that today, and I was like, Ash literally was never around during the filming of that, which is crazy. That one was also interesting because we started recording that. I mean, that might have been the first show that didn't come out while we were still recording it, because we had done like 3 miniseries, which that year was rough.
Wait, which three?
We did Kids on Bikes. We did Kids on Bikes. I did Candelabs Obscura. And then we did Shades of the West that summer. And then Lamplight came out.
That was 3 back to back. Huh, yeah. Why did we do that?
Never do it again. It was insane.
Everything's a learning experience. Everything.
But that one was super fun.
No, Shades of the West was fun. That was my GM debut with Queer PG.
Yeah, and it was the first time we co-GM'd.
Which is a lot of fun.
I've also never done before in general.
Same. I loved traumatizing our players together. That was a good time.
That was one of our good friends, Linny, was on that show, who runs Twice Rolled Tales, which is an actual play and game design company. Ash and I have both done stuff with them. Do you have anything? I mean, again, I wasn't there for the Wanderhome, so do you have anything specific you want to say about that recording process and like how that story came to be? Because they did make the world together in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was one where we made the world together, and it was looking back, knowing now that that was Tot's first actual play, I don't know how I didn't know that before. But that's amazing. It's one of those things where I think people who haven't either done actual play or like RPGs in general always bring like more fresher take and fresher ideas than people who like understand like, oh, this is how mechanically something would work. And so I would want to do da 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 da. And so the world for Wanderhome is still one of like my favorite like spaces we've ever built, because it's just all these like starting out with all these like floating islands, and then they have this big airship that they go and travel around to, and then where they are is a twist at the end, which is very funny to me still because I remember when they all found out.
No, I think we can say it. I want to say that that twist actually. It's America.
It's America. They start on the west.
It's just coast. America.
We start on the west coast. And like on the floating islands off of fucking California, when you go back and listen, you're like, that's goddamn California.
I got some dog squeaker coming through.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hold on. Cauliflower, honey. Oh, you're so talented. I know you want to be heard, but not right now. Yay.
So, yeah, we started in California.
We started in California, and like, going back and listening or just thinking about the way that our GM brought us across the plains and then like the different like landmarks, but said in a weird fun way and topography, and it finally clicked for everyone. I knew the whole time, so I was just sitting here like this, but like it finally clicked for everyone when the GM was like, oh yeah, and there's this really big statue, it's old and rusted, and it's green, and everyone went, "Is that fucking Lady Liberty?" It was so good.
Yeah, I did not know that was going to happen either, so I got a surprise.
We got your ass.
You got my ass.
Got your ass.
Yeah, that one was super funny to me because you guys created the lastings and then left immediately.
Yeah, that's why
we didn't actually get to see any of the lastings. I wanted to go back and do it.
Go back. That's one of those things where we've had talks about future seasons and if we want to, you know, come back and do the lastings, like that sort of timeline, but from the perspective of someone on the lastings as it's sinking. Or, like, just in a different era entirely, but still, like, in that world. And I don't know if we would want, what game we would want to be, or if we want to just play Wanderhome again, because you would have to sort of need, like, you know, like, the Kith, little animal creatures for it. But there's so many games with little animal creatures. You just got one at PAX. So, like, there's so many options. I do like the idea of returning to previous worlds. I know we've returned to Monster Hearts for a couple things.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite things that we've done on the channel was, I mean, Elliot Davis is a great game designer, and so The Time We Have is a perfect game in my opinion, but Mads and I mean, Elliot has been on the podcast. He ran Rom-Com Drama Bomb for us, which is another one of his games. But yeah, when we did Caleb Moore and Adam Moore, but took them out of Monster Hearts and put them in The Time We Have, that ruins me. That that is an award-winning episode of the podcast. And yeah, it deserves it. It deserves it. It's a really good one. Pat ourselves on the back there. That's my favorite one I think we've ever made. So that was a cool revisit, a cool little twist on Elliot's game too. And then when we did Lamplight Investigations, this was the first time that I finished a season and I was like, that was the wrong game to play. I think Thirsty Sword Lesbians is a super fun game. That was the wrong game for that story. And we, like, midway through just completely ignored the mechanics. And I think that's clear in the game because there are some episodes where, like, no one rolls a die. Because it's just, like, we're just role-playing at this point, which is fine. Honestly, I kind of love that. I kind of like this idea. And we've talked about this. I have an idea for no TTRPG game, just a role-playing, like, improv podcast. I did create all of Nova. We created it together in terms of, like some of the things that were in it. But, like, I created the concept of Nova and Cypher, which Nova, if you guys haven't listened yet, Nova is, like, this rich... It's a steampunk noir. So Nova is, like, this super rich community. And then there's, like, this bridge called the Golden Mile that leads into Cypher, which is... a lot more community based, but not, doesn't have a lot of money in it. And that's where most of it takes place, is in Cypher, because that's where our three main characters are living.
As a side note, one of my favorite, not really world building, I guess more story building, is that it's a lot of it was based off of a poem by Emily Dickinson.
That was Candela Obscura.
Wait. Oh, Candela
Obscura was, yeah, Candela Obscura, Circle of the Broken Cage, was based off of Emily Dickinson's poem "I Am Nobody." The first line is "I am nobody. Who are you?" And the I'm forgetting what the term is for, like, the they have different terms in Candela Obscura, but like the supernatural thing in that game was called nobody. Yeah, I do. I was very proud of myself for that. And in episode 2, it opens with parts of an Emily Dickinson poem that I stole and then rewrote. Like, I took some lines of a poem of hers and then I added stuff that made sense for the world that we are in, which I love. I love the setting for Candela Obscura, so that was super fun.
And I think Candela Obscura, Thirsty Sword Lesbians, both of those, for our purposes specifically, are both good examples of how one aspect of a game can work really well and another one can be sort of hindering to the story. And so you just sort of, like, we're in a space where we can just do what we want and take what works, modify it. I think there hasn't been a single season where there wasn't at least a little bit of homebrewing going on.
Definitely. Monster Hearts was as close to the book you can get when you don't realize you're playing with two different rule books.
Yeah, as close to multiple books as you can get.
Yeah, you guys created a dice rolling system for Wanderhome because they wanted to roll die, and usually Wanderhome is a diceless system. Candela Obscura. Yeah, I mean, Candela Obscura also exists to kind of be homebrewed. Like, they give you a setting and then it's kind of like, add whatever you want. That was also the first time we've done like a full video. Like, that was video before audio. We had everyone dress up, and I mean that was also a great cast. We had everyone dress up, and that was like video first, which we've never done before, and honestly it was super fun. I'll never do it again. That's not our style. It just like, it didn't fit with our editing style, didn't fit with like our production style, but it was a cool little experiment to do. But yeah, then Lamplight, yeah, that setting was just fully my creation, which I do love it and I'd like to return. But yeah, Thirsty Sort of Lesbians didn't fit with that game that we were playing very well, but it was still a great season. Super fun.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
I love those characters a lot.
One of my favorite things about like the development side is when we get like our art back from our artists.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, and it's so good to like, especially like when you like just start seeing like the rough sketches come together, and then you're asking your cast like, oh, how's this pose, or like, what about this? And they get so excited and about like seeing the characters that they worked so hard on come to life. I think Lamplight was one of those ones where I saw the characters and I went, yes. Yeah. I haven't even listened to this yet and know exactly what their vibe is.
You have Danielle doing Mama Amaretta and April doing Joe, and who are like very quote unquote normal looking individuals. And then Atlas came in and he was like short, blue skinned, like, and I was like, yeah, let's go. I mean, we're in Thirsty Sword Lesbians. You can be like a different type of creature. And I just thought that was so funny, because JJ was very much different. Also, one of the funniest stories about that was we were doing a session zero to like get everybody in character. And JJ, Atlas is doing this like newsy voice for JJ. And it was so funny. And then he just didn't do it come the first episode. And I was like, at the end of the first episode, I was like, I mean, you can't do it now, but like, where'd it go? And he was like, I just thought it was too much. And I was like, I mean, it was a choice. I don't feel like I could do the voice right now because I haven't done it in a while. But one of my favorite NPCs I've ever played is Jack. And I love the like Jack, Joe, JJ, too many J names, love triangle that we had going on. That was really good. There was a really cool, I think it all happened in the last episode, where like Joe confronts like an old love interest, and they just like, they cycle through like three stages of being together and breaking up in the same episode. It was a lot, but it was really good.
Lesbianism speed run.
That is really what it was. So that was a super fun game. I loved how that turned out. That was a game where I thought I knew it was where it was going to go. And then like after the first case, because that was kind of split up into cases, I was like, oh, what I was envisioning like the quote unquote big bad to be is not what they're envisioning the big bad to be. And so this needs to change so that there is some like, so that they are correct in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't like make them right necessarily because they still didn't know exactly what was going on.
Well, you didn't want it to be like a goose chase the whole time.
Right. Because they were supposed to be getting closer and closer. And so my idea of the big bad, if I'm remembering this correctly, wasn't actually just like a person. It was kind of like a concept, or like, honestly, like wealth disparity was kind of the big bad in this.
Capitalism.
But it still was in the game. Like if you listen to that season, it still is. But they glommed on to this family so hard being evil. And I was like, all right, well, one of them's fucking up. But guess what? Twist was fucking up because of grief, not because of actual evilness sort of vibes. So, you know, I had to turn it on its head a little bit. But yeah, that was a super fun one.
I like how, I'm just thinking about, like, now that I mentioned, I'm thinking about, like, the villains of our seasons. So season one, there was, like, the
shadow monster,
the shadow creature monster. Season two, it was sort of like capitalism.
It was like industrialism. It was progress. Yeah. Progress for the sake of progress.
Yeah. Cults sort of like taking advantage of, people and like stealing magic from land. Season three, you know, was the Grief family, but also capitalism. And then
season four, we kind of cycled back around to season one.
Yeah, season four, we're like, let's make it a guy again. Let's make it this creature thing. Let's have it be a thing. Yeah,
let's have it be a
thing. Give us something to punch.
Yeah, well, season four, very, very different production than the rest of them.
Yeah.
Where I decided pretty early on, because we were getting a guest GM in, that I was going to play in the game. And that you were going to produce. And then you did, I mean, this isn't really a spoiler. By the time this comes out, we'll probably have announced that in season four, Moonlight on Roswell Beach, we have a bunch of guest stars. And Ash is our first guest star.
What's up? And I'm not going to say what I am, but just know.
Don't spoil that. Don't spoil that yet. And so you like produced that mostly. Like, I got the cast that we wanted, and then you took over producing with Alex in the cast because I couldn't hear anything because I was playing
in
the game.
No secrets. You're not allowed to hear. I think too that setup also divides the tasks and work more evenly between the two of us as well. I think that with each season we've gotten more and more steady on our footing about specifically like how we get seasons up and running, and how they like first start get the ball rolling, and then like consistently it's pretty easy. Like once we have like the recording scheduled and are going through, there's always, you know, random scheduling snafus or whatnot, but like having one of us sort of be on the creative side and the other one be on the production side, I think was really helpful.
And we're taking that forward too with season five, because we've already started pre-production on that, where you'll be running the game. So I am in the producer chair right now in development of it. Yeah, I think that works really well for us, especially because we're just a two-person team. So we do need to kind of be able to like split down the middle what we're doing.
Yeah, the amount of times I've looked at Kenzie and been like, are you doing too much?
Always. The answer to that question is always.
The answer is yes, but like there's a level of crisis sort of that I try to gauge and see what I can help out with, because editing does take, I think, the majority of the hours and everything.
Yeah, if I didn't have to edit, we'd be cool. But that takes like, I'm editing Monday through, because I work Thursday through Saturday, so I'm editing Monday through Wednesday. That's my whole day when we're in production, and so that's why, I mean, that's our biggest reason for moving to putting out episodes every other week rather than every week like we were doing for seasons one and two, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep up. It's too much. Yeah. I mean, this isn't my full-time job. It's impossible.
And I feel like that's more industry standard too, like an every other week for actual plays.
I don't think it's an industry standard. I think that it is becoming, it's just like, it's doable, you know, like it's, I think it's more doable. And I think if you have a smaller team, you should be doing every other week.
I will say I'm both excited and shitting myself about GMing by myself for the first time.
Yeah, but I'll be on the call.
Yeah. You'll be there. If I start panicking, I'll just start waving a red flag or a white flag for surrender. No, it'll be fun. I've got Excel spreadsheets and I'm getting things set up. I'm also wanting to find that fine line between like planning the season and building the world with the characters, which is always fun.
I feel like you'll, after we have our first development session, you'll figure out what that line is.
Yeah.
But you need to meet them. You need to talk to them first before you can like really fully establish that, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. But as you mentioned like earlier about like our cast size, Moonlight on Roswell Beach, we have three main cast members, which is.
And the GM.
And the GM, sure. So we have Alexander Christopher as our GM. I will be playing in the game. And then we have Dan Pixel in Valiant Dorian. And we're the main trio of this group. And then we have five guest stars that will appear throughout the season, which we're not going to announce right now. They will be announced closer to when their episodes come out, but they're all awesome and they're all great. And this was like, I talk about in one of the after shows for season four, but it was kind of like a wish fulfillment for me since I got to cast the show and I was like, who do I want to play with?
Who do I want to cherry pick and put in this season?
Who do I want to play with?
This person and this one.
And outside of one person who wasn't available, I nailed it.
You did a great job. 10 out of 10.
I nailed it. Yeah, so that's been super fun. I will say Moonlight on Roseville Beach, to give you guys a little heads up, if you haven't listened to our What is Moonlight on Roseville Beach episode, it's kind of like supernatural Scooby-Doo. No, it is. I mean, I guess Scooby-Doo is supernatural.
It's like Eldritch Horror Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it's
cartoon.
1979 queer horror disco, but like Scooby-Doo vibes. So our theme song is so awesome and is like reminiscent of like old TV shows. And so that's kind of how the episodes are, where they're very episodic. Like each, there is of course like an overall arc for the season, but each episode is like really episodic. And then I'm doing this cool thing. Well, I think it's a cool thing where, you know how like on TV shows they do like last time on, well, like I'm doing that at the beginning of all of the episodes. You get like a little TV recap of what happened in the prior episode. So I kind of like this theme that we do. Like, we create a vibe for the show and then we like go for that. So like when I got Michelle Kelly, who's an incredible voice actor and has worked with us twice, she was in Candela Obscura and then did the recaps for Lamplight, because I was like, I want like a radio show host sort of vibe, and she nailed it. So just like, I like this idea that we like have this very strong theme for all of our seasons, and we just kind of like full force go into that. Ash sings our theme song, by the way, for season four, in case you were wondering. It's pretty dope.
Disney, I was talking with one of our other actual play friends, Olivia Ross, and they said that they liked the theme song, and I get weird when I'm complimented, like most artists. And I was like, ah, and they were like, why are you reacting that way? And I was like, because it's my voice. And they went, that was you? And I was like, yeah!
You shouldn't have said anything.
Yes, I was singing it. Which I thought was really funny. I've never done that style of singing before. I grew up in musical theater, in very like Broadway belty sort of thing. And so to have this sort of like using the Beatles as our composer used the Beatles as like a touchstone for me. I listened to more Beatles in like that 1 week, like when I was recording that, than I ever had before. Everything I've learned about the Beatles has been against my will. I have something against the British. Don't worry about it. Except for Ed Spence. He's the only British man that I'll tolerate. It was fun trying to find a different way to use my voice that I hadn't before. And so I just had a really good time like recording 50 different versions and then sending them sending the better ones to Lisette and being like, is this anything? Is this what you wanted? Do you want three more of these? Here you go. But it was a lot of fun to play around with that.
The thing I was talking about with like the strong themes, also like we've made the choice to get a different artist for every season because like we're trying to match the vibe. And let me tell you something, we have gotten some of the best art I have ever seen in my life. I mean, truly all of it is so good. And when you guys see the Moonlight art, shout out Canlin from 5GMs in a trench coat, because oh guys, it is so good.
My phone background is literally just a collage of all of our like character art from seasons 1 through 3 right now. And my nails are a freaking logo.
Oh, they're still Kirpy G nails?
Love they're that. Still Kirpy G nails. Yes, of course, yeah.
I was also thinking how funny the name of our podcast is, because like it's queer we pronounce it Queer PG, while technically it's queer RPG, and we just made the R one thing, so we pronounce it queer PG. But then when you pronounce it queer PG, it makes it sound like PG, like it's a PG show, which it is very much not.
I didn't even think of that.
And so somebody commenting on it at PAX, like good naturedly, but I was like, yeah, it's a little convoluted. But it's too late now. We're too far in it now.
The origin of my name is one of my favorite like stories about us is we because you had approached me this was like Panini times, and you were like, hey, Ash, what if we made a gay podcast? And I went, hell yeah, I'm not doing anything else for the next foreseeable future. Let's fucking go. And it's, of course, bloomed into this amazing thing in my life. But during the first meeting at Fancy Free, shout out Fancy Free in Brooklyn, we sat down, and like I had taken some notes about like names and like other vibes and things too that I had prepared for that meeting. And you hit me with, I have an idea for the title, for like the name of our podcast. And I was like, I do too. And we had the same fucking name in our head. We both were like, Queer RPG? This is it? Because I had written it down. I was like, this? And you're like, yes, that. And we were like, it was incredible. It was
which is so interesting that that's how we were at the beginning, because I feel like we've mind melded even more since then. But how do you mind meld more from coming up with the same podcast name?
I don't know. It's so funny too, because like we really are just drift compatible. I think is what it is, which is why it's so such a delight to make this together. Wouldn't want to do it with anyone else. But no, that's probably the origin of our name. Even if though it's a little convoluted, I hold very near and dear to my heart. I think it's fantastic.
I feel like there's been a couple of things we haven't mentioned yet, which is one of my favorite like growth things for the podcast was us coming up with New Game Showcase, where we showcase games that are being kickstarted. And I've done some of my favorite games, like Hunted with Lexi McQueen. That was a great time. We did Rom-Com Drama Bomb with Elliot Davis. I got to do Homecoming by Megan Cross, which that game is, it's very good, but it's about generational trauma and being the eldest daughter. I got to sit down also for Press Pause and have a interview with Megan Cross. So you should all go listen to that interview and then listen to my playthrough of that game, because hit hard. I made myself cry. I've also found out through those games that I really like prompt-based games.
Yeah.
I love
a jumping off point. Games. I love a little prompt. I also have been, I really love two-player games as well. I know we've been getting into those like outside of Queer PG as well, you know, like collecting and playing and things. Because spoiler alert, gang, we play more than just the TTRPGs that are on, that are recorded. We also do a lot of these just for fun.
But we all have talked about, we're going to, in the new year, have some Patreon exclusive actual plays, which are going to be more like two player solo games that we're going to showcase.
But no, I think the, you know, New Game Showcase, I think Press Pause, like some of the one shots and things we've done, like having stuff peppered around throughout just our main seasons, not only like gives us something to do and create, but it also is a huge part of like the community building, which within the TTRPG space is a cornerstone of the whole thing. Like obviously, like in any community is very important, but I found that maybe it's just the where I'm at in my life, that the TTRPG community has been the most intentional about it, if that makes any sense. Or maybe it's just like, yeah, maybe it's just all the people we surround ourselves with are very community oriented.
It's probably that, because I, you know, everyone hears bad stories about the communities or their industries that they're in, and the TTRPG one being as small as it is. What did I just say? Being as small as it is.
Remix the sentence.
Everyone kind of knows each other, even if you don't know each other. Like the amount of people I knew by association at PAX was actually crazy. So like people know your name that you may not have actually talked to yet. And so you do kind of have to be intentional about the community you build. But I think that's super interesting too, because like, again, when we had no idea what we were doing and we put out that Monster Hearts podcast for Wildmoor High, there was another Monster Hearts podcast called The Silent Secrets. And I met all of the people on, well, not all of them, but I met the people who run the show, Zach and, Nicole. And like they reached out just because they also ran a Monster Hearts podcast. And now like Zach has come on the pod and he did a Halloween episode with us. I did their Halloween episode because they only ever play Monster Hearts, which is so good. And now starting in January, we're doing a home game, all of us. And incredible. Like, you know, so you do just build these relationships that get taken outside of the creation space.
And I think too, like what you mentioned about like they came on our show, we went on to their show. it's one of those things where, coming from like a background in theater and film, it is very, even the people you meet and become friends with, there's always like a little bit of tension if they look even slightly like you or are doing anything tangentially related to what you're doing, because it feels like there's very small pies and even smaller slices to hand out. Whereas in the actual play TTRPG space, everyone's always constantly trying to play with everybody else. Like, we really are just a bunch of nerds who like playing
games.
There
actually is like not enough games to play with each other.
Yeah. There's actually not enough time to play at all. Like, that's, and it's such, I think that's what it is about the intentionality behind the community that I personally really appreciate. Because it's like the opposite of like the cutthroat sort of, oh, you're also a brunette bitch with a jawline, time to die. Like, okay, well, maybe we can be friends.
Yeah, I think the indie TTRPG space is very much not like Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Opposite ends of the spectrum, thank God.
But another fun thing that we haven't really talked about on the podcast is that our friends at Many Sided Media brought us into their network. So we're now a Many Sided Network show. And we work with them and a bunch of other shows, like our friends at Mage Hand Hive 5, Tales Yet Told, The Heart is a Dungeon, as I mentioned earlier. There's a bunch of shows in that network now, and it's super fun to just, like, community, but like a more contained one where it's like I can go to someone for like help or advice, or if they need an editor, they'll come to me, and just like this, yeah. We're like rotating jobs around like
a structured support system on top of the community aspect is what it feels like.
It's been super fun, and we've only been with them for like a couple months, so not like a ton of stuff has happened yet, but we're very excited for another year. It's like starting the new year with them, which will be interesting and something to look forward to. But speaking of starting the new year, January 12th, premiere of Moonlight on Roseville Beach. Let's go.
The day before my birthday. Yes. So everyone be sure to say happy birthday.
For Ash's birthday, actually.
Everyone tune in for me.
Yeah, you have to listen.
You have to. It's my birthday, guys.
Yeah, it's because it's Ash's birthday. And then we're going to go into, like, directly with that, we're going into production on season 5. We've got a show that I'm not talking about yet, but another show that we're going to be producing next year with, maybe we've already said the name of the GM on the podcast. I don't know.
Who knows? I didn't say anything.
We also have got a bunch of like queer PG adjacent shows that we're working on. So not actual play, but queer PG. I can't, it's an hour in and I can't speak anymore. So not actual plays, but queer PG produced, like, audio drama-esque stuff that are in the works, have been in the works, that are being written. Very exciting.
So exciting. Oh, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm so excited. Oh, one other thing around, like, the tangentially related to, like, the art, but also the music and the theme songs for each season have also been incredible. Like, yeah,
the theme songs are different every season. So good. We've had two different composers. When we started out, we were working with Lorna Ryan. They did our main theme song for Queer PG, and then they did the first and second season. And then we've been working the last two seasons with Lizette Imago, who has done Lamplight and has done now The Moonlight, which, honestly, shout out to them. They went above and beyond for Moonlight. Truly, we were not going to have lyrics when we first pitched this to them. And then we wanted lyrics, but we were like, well, we can't ask. And then they were like, you should have lyrics.
And they're like, I can read your mind.
Honestly, not a lyricist wrote the majority of the lyrics. Yeah. And
so I helped like really a little bit, but it was only for like literally like maybe two lines.
Yeah. Went above and beyond for us this time around, and we're very grateful for that.
I'm always just so excited about like all the different creatives and other folks that we get to collaborate and make cool shit with. It's always so fun. It's always so cool to see things coming together.
And, you know, it feels like, I mean, we only technically put half a season of an actual play out last year, and then we had our interview show. But, like, we filmed or we recorded Moonlight in April and May, and then I've been editing the season for 6 months. I mean, granted, I had to edit Press Pause too, and I took a month off because I deserved it. And then, no, but I've been editing.
It doesn't stop. Kenzie's either editing or is at work. Like the amount of work
I'm editing at work or writing for
the
audio
or
dramas,
all the same, like, at the same time somehow.
Yeah, sometimes all at the same time. So I did take like June off after that, and then I've been happy Pride. And then I've been editing the fourth season ever since because I wanted to finish it before we premiered because I've never had a backlog before and I've always been scrambling. And so I just want to say that as of Monday, season four is – the episodes are completely edited. I still have to make all the promotional material and that type of stuff.
Yeah, but
But everything is scored. Everything is sound designed. It's great. Ooh. All the after shows are done. And if you're wondering what the after show is, it's our after show. It's what it says.
It's a show
after each episode that can be found on our Patreon. Get little cast insights, hear us make bad jokes, and laugh at ourselves. Mostly yell at each other for choices we've made during the game. Do bits that need to end. I mean, we really season one, all the after shows,
was just like go a piss dog. Girl. Yeah.
All the every after show in season one was go piss girl. So we really,
I still say that. Shout out to Magic.
People still say it. I'm just saying, like, we really drove that one home.
That's where I heard it. I had never heard that before, and then they were one of our players like go piss girl, and I went, yeah, that's the idea. I'm gonna go potty, and they were like, "No, no, no." He was like, "No, listen, it's from Gossip Girl." And I went, "I less understand what you mean now because I don't know that show."
I do want to read you guys just some of the after show titles for season four because maybe that would maybe you'd be interested in joining the Patreon. We've got Yeet the Twink. Yeet the Twink is one of the after show titles. We've got Alpha Lesbianism.
Yeah.
Which I do believe somebody in that after show says naming this after show Alpha Lesbianism is a bit misleading. I don't think so. We talk about Alpha Lesbianism.
Mm-hmm. I'm sensing
is it for
being
a total of 3 seconds?
Yes, yeah, but we talk about it. But we talk about it.
We got one. Oh, Let's Go Lesbians is Let's go one lesbians. Of them. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna leave with. I'm gonna leave you guys with those three.
Yeah,
there's a theme there, and it's being gay.
What a queer RPG!
Can you imagine a queer RPG where being gay? Okay, well, you know, it's is there anything else we need to cover? We talked about all of the stuff.
I don't know because it's one of those things, like the things we can talk about are things that we cannot announce to the audience right now.
I mean? And I don't want to like go back and do like your favorites because I don't want to kill my darlings and like pick between them.
I don't have favorites. I don't have my favorite, genuinely, as we've been making this, my favorite thing or my favorite character, or my favorite moment has been whatever is immediately in front of me right now.
That's such a you thing, though.
I know.
Because like my favorite NPC, I have a favorite NPC. My favorite NPC is Jack.
Yeah.
From Lamplight. Hands Jack's down my so favorite good. NPC.
I will say, I think my, I don't know, I love Pharaoh so much. Maybe it's because that was the first one that I played with us. I love that little edgy rat bitch. Like,
and, you know, Pharaoh's going to come back around for another show.
And I'm sure everything's going to be fine. And it's all going to
be
good.
I'm sure it's
going to
be absolutely fine.
Chill. They're so... They're healed now. There's no conflict or anything.
They're so good. They're so good.
Great. But I do genuinely love the character that I played for Moonlight. I also love the reaction to it that I got.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like such an Ash character, but you know what I've realized we've never done? Is we've never done like a get to know us. And I don't want to do that right now because we're already like an hour in. But we should in the first of the year, one of our like Patreon exclusives should be like a get to know us. And we just like go through favorite things, which is really just an excuse to talk about our hyperfixations.
Our characters. Yeah. Yeah. I one thing that I do a lot, especially when I'm like just listening in on a season or producing it, is I will just doodle the characters like as we go, like little bits and scenes that I really enjoy. I do that with a lot of things that I listen to, but for ours specifically, I'm like, these are my babies. They're my they're my big queer PG nest, and I'm the big old mama bird doodling them. So,
well, thank you all for listening and being here and for supporting us for the last 3 years. Or if you're a new supporter, we're glad you found us.
Welcome.
We're so excited for you. We're so excited for 2026 because, damn, Moonlight's going to hit. If there's been like, it's also different playing in a show, I think, because it's like, oh yeah, we did it. Alex and I had an interview. You can go watch Alexander, Christopher, and I chat about the show in a press pause episode. But there was a moment in Murray mentioned where like neither of us feel the need to play Moonlight on Roswell Beach again because we feel like we accomplished what the game set out to do. By the end of that, we did talk about how we produced season 4 in the sense of like Alex brought in a different TTRPG to have us build Moonlight on Roswell Beach. So like it was like
Beat Feather and Bone. It was a lot of fun
to build the actual town of Roswell Beach. And then at the end of the game, we played, and I don't want to spoil that yet, but we played another TTRPG in the final episode to close out and bring catharsis to the season.
Oh, it was so good. Alexander Christopher is also just like a walking library of TTRPGs.
Yes. Like, I've never met somebody who knows more about it. Yeah.
Like every time I have a question about one, I'm like, hey, what's a TTRPG that has like these vibes and this kind of mechanic? And then he responds with like 5 different options in like 2 minutes. And I'm like, you're incredible. I love you so much.
Well, I feel like we've done a good review of everything we've done on the channel so far. And we've got an awesome 2026 coming up, starting out hard with Moonlight in Roswell Beach on the 12th of January. Very excited. Everybody, I hope if you celebrate the holidays, you have a good one. Otherwise, have a great new year, and we will see you on the flip side.
Bye, y'all. Love you.